More church. All right, so I got a story about a couple. They were driving the country up around Cape Cod, and they see these fields full of blueberries, and they get all excited about all these blueberries, and they get out of the car and they start walking around. They start picking blueberries, they're just having a great day, beautiful day, beautiful blueberries. They're having a time of their life. They start walking back to the car, and they notice the back door of their car is open. They notice an old man sitting in the back seat of the back car, and he's eating their lunch. He's eating some Pringles and eating their ham sandwich, and the guy says, "That's my lunch." He says, "Then my blueberries." I wonder now if we get way too comfortable with the things of this world and just don't recognize who owns it all. That God owns it all. He created it all. And that He owns us. He owns us. When we became Christians, we gave our lives to Jesus Christ. When we confessed Him as Lord, we said, "Everything we are, it belongs to You, Lord. Every part of me belongs to You." In Romans 7, verse 4, a great verse, especially a great verse for after Easter, this is what it says: "So, my brothers, you also died in the law, you died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to Him who was raised from the dead." That's what we talked about last week. "That you might belong to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God." You belong to Him so that you might bear fruit. Jesus died for us. Jesus bought us with His blood. Jesus rose from the dead, proving that He's the King of Kings. He has all authority, and He owns us. And He has every right to expect us to bear fruit. He has every right to expect that we will be productive to the work that He's given us to do. And Jesus talked throughout the Scriptures constantly. He was talking about the fact that we are called to bear fruit. It says in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Matthew 12, verse 33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. It says in John 15, verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, remain in Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I am in him, he will bear much fruit. What is it that God has called you to do? God has called you to bear fruit. Are we bearing fruit? So I say that to take us to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is where all the parables are. I said this going into the book of Matthew. Matthew's not chronological. It's not this happened, then this happened, this happened. He kind of groups everything together. He groups all the sayings of Jesus together. He groups all the miracles together. And here we find in Matthew 13, all the parables are grouped together, parable after parable. And today we're going to take the first parable, the parable of the sower. Let me read this to you. It's a very common parable. Matthew 13 says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and they ate it up. And some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Verse 8, still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 times, 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Let me ask this question here. Who is Jesus sharing this parable with? I didn't say this already. This is verses 1 and verse 2. It says that same day Jesus went out of the house. He sat by the lake, and such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. So who's he talking to? Who's Jesus sharing this parable with? He's sharing it with this large crowd. Such a large crowd, he had to get out in the lake to share the story with him. And another question I have is, why the parables? It says here in verse 3, he told them many things in parables. Why is Jesus talking in parables? And what is a parable? A parable is a simple story to illustrate a spiritual truth. But why is Jesus all of a sudden talking in parables? I found this very interesting. College Press New Testament commentary says, until hostility raises its ugly head, Jesus did not resort to the use of parables. Jesus was pretty direct. He talked pretty directly with everybody. He said, this is how it is. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. And all of a sudden, now he's talking in parables. And what this quote was, is because hostility raised its ugly head. You remember back in Matthew chapter 9, it was the Pharisees were accusing Jesus of blasphemy. Because he forgave somebody's sins. In Matthew 12, he's accused of breaking the Sabbath when he healed somebody. He's accused of being the devil, being Beelzebub, because he was casting out demons. In Matthew 12, verse 14, the Pharisees they plotted how to kill him. And from this point on, Jesus starts talking in parables. I found that very interesting here. In this parable, let me read it again. I'm going to read it a little slower. Pay attention here. See what Jesus is saying here. A farmer went out and he sowed a seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and they ate it up. All right, so that's one thing, the path. And then some fell in the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So some of the seed fell on the path. Some fell in the rocky places. Y'all know this parable? A pretty common parable, right? Other seed fell on the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So the path, the rocky places, the thorns. In verse 8, still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Anybody remember Sesame Street? And one of these things is not like the other. You remember that? Something's different here. What is different? There's one of these is different. What's different about it? What's different? It produced fruit. And the others didn't. And then verse 9, Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. And I have a question. What did you hear? What did you just hear? As I'm reading this parable to you, the words of Jesus, I'm reading this here, what did you hear? What did you receive? I'm looking at it like, wow, Jesus knows how to farm. Some good farming tips right there. That's what that is. I wouldn't put my seed on the path. I wouldn't put my seed on the rocky place. But I don't know why Jesus is talking about farming. I don't get it. I don't understand why Jesus shared this. And I'm thinking the disciples, they didn't understand either, because they said in verse 10, the disciples came and they asked him, why do you speak to the people in parables? Because we don't understand. We're not following. We're not getting this, Jesus. And then notice verse 11. This is a very, very key verse here. Verse 11. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. The knowledge, this is what Jesus says to the disciples. He says, the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. It's been entrusted to you, but not to them. That's what he says. And all these parables are about the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. In verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And then in verse 31, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. He told them another parable in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, and a woman took and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. And in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. In verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. In verse 47, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. The kingdom of heaven, this has been entrusted to you, but not to them. And I'm like, why not to them? Why aren't you giving this to everybody? And I think the answer is, in verse 15, it says, because these people, their hearts are calloused. Verse 12, he says, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Whoever has what? Now, so I'm asking this question. What's Jesus talking about here? Whoever has what? And the answer I came up with, whoever has eyes to see, whoever has ears to hear, whoever has a heart that's receptive to the things of God, because that's fertile soil. That person will be given more. That person will be blessed. And then he says this, verse 13, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but you'll never understand. You'll be ever seeing, but you'll never perceive. For this people, their hearts have become callous. These people, their hearts are hard. These people, their hearts are shallow. Their hearts are weedy. They don't have a heart for God. They don't care about the secret things of God, the kingdom of heaven. So they hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. And then verse 16, but blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. He tells the disciples, you are blessed because that's fertile soil. You're receiving the things of God. You're hearing the things of God. And then Jesus went on and he explained the parable. So let's spend a little time here. So he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. And he starts with the path, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this seed is sown. This is a seed that's sown along the path. This represents the hard soil. The seed, it doesn't penetrate. It can't get through. And it's not because of a lack of understanding. It's more because of an unwillingness to receive. It doesn't want to receive it. They fail to take the appropriate action. When the seed is given to them, they do nothing with it. They're rejecting the word of God. They're rejecting the things of God. Very similar to the Pharisees. This is a hard path. And 2 Corinthians 4 warns, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. They've been blinded to it. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin does this to us. Sin, because we love our sin more than the word of God, we can't receive the word of God. In John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of the light. This is so many people in the world, they love their sin. They love darkness. They don't want to repent. They've been blinded by Satan. And the result is there's no fruit. There's no fruit. Their hearts are hard. It's not due to... You know, the seed isn't good. It's not because the sower didn't do his job. No, it's because of the heart. The heart doesn't want it. Then he talks about the rocks. Verse 20, the one who received the seed that fell in the rocky places is a man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Have you seen this before? Maybe you started out like this. You went to, you know, church camp or a revival or a concert, and man, you're on fire. And then Monday comes. And what happened to that fire? It's gone, you know? And I've seen people before. I've seen people who embrace the things of God for like a week, maybe a month, maybe even a year. And it warns here that then persecution comes. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So they quickly respond. They respond with joy, but it's short-lived. They get scorched. They get withered. And here's a huge warning for all of us here, is basing your Christianity on emotions is a very dangerous thing. We've got to be rooted. And how does that happen? You get rooted, you know, Bible study, accountability, prayer, discipline, the discipline of worshiping the Lord. You know, we come to church, we come to church to seek God, to hear from God, to worship God, and hopefully to be receptive. We come here Sunday after Sunday to be receptive. If you're coming for an emotional high, that's holiday world. That's not here. That's not what we do here. We come here to hear from God. When trouble or persecution comes, they quickly fall away. They fall away because they're not rooted. There's no biblical foundation. There's no support system. Maybe, you know, this is what the importance of family, a godly family, is to support you when you go through trouble and persecution. The purpose of a church home where you're connected is so that you can be sustained, so that you don't wither up and get scorched. This is all about superficial faith. People who, they love forgiveness, they love grace, but they're not so big on obedience. They're not so big on faithfulness. They're not so big on picking up your cross and dying daily to yourself. All about the love and grace. I mean, that's great stuff. But the hard stuff, no, they're not ready for that. And they give up. They give up way too easily. And the result is there's no fruit. no fruit. Talks about the third soil being weeds, the weeds, the thorns. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word. He hears it, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke it, making it unfruitful. Two things that most often keep Christians from being fruitful is worry and the deceitfulness of wealth. And some people are in double trouble because they worry about their wealth. And so, you know, so that's really bad. Worry, it says here, the worries of this life choke it, making it unfruitful. The most prevalent sin among Christians that I see, you know, it's not drinking, it's not cussing, it's not all this, you know, it's worry. Christians really have a big problem with worrying. And if this is you, I just want to ask you, I challenge you here, to worry is such an insult to God. It's saying you don't trust God. You don't believe God. You're not obeying God. The worries of this life choke it, making it unfruitful. Wealth does the same thing, the deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth will lie to you. Wealth will deceive you into thinking that you don't need God. You're fine. You're good. Worry and wealth, they distract us from seeking first the kingdom of God, from being receptive to the things of God. It says in 1 Timothy 6, people who want to get rich, they fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. They're not experiencing the blessings of God because they're chasing money. They're not chasing God. They're chasing money. The result is no fruit. Then we get to the fertile soil. Verse 23, the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil, well, that's the man who hears the word and understands it and produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. This person, they hear, they understand, they produce a crop, it's changed lives, produces a crop 160, 30 times what was sown. That's unheard of. This is pretty astonishing stuff here. This is not natural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. This is the power of God at work in somebody's life. This is a person who hears and understands and responds wholeheartedly to the word of God. He who has ears, let him hear. What are you hearing? Luke 8, verse 15 says, he who hears the word and retains it, he who embraces the word of God. It talks in James chapter 1, do not just be hearers of the word, do what it says. It says in Matthew 7, verse 24, the wise man puts it into practice. You hear it, you receive it, you put it into practice. You produce a crop. You produce fruit. The true believer bears fruit. And get this, John 15, verse 8, this is a great verse. I don't think I have it up there. I wish I had this up there. This is to my Father's glory. This is what it says in John 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. We live for the glory of God. That's why we have been given life. That's why we've been given this opportunity here on this earth, is to bring him glory. How do you glorify God? You glorify God by bearing fruit. Ken Wheeler, he says, the fruit of the Christian life is another Christian. An apple tree produces apples, which are full of seeds that produce more apples. And I think this is very profound. Anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are in a seed. We don't know. If I can help somebody come to Jesus Christ, I have no idea of knowing how many other people will come to Christ because of that person and the people they bring to Christ. That's fruit. That's producing a crop 100 times, 30 times, 60 times what was sown. All right, so I've said all that. This is the good stuff, right? Right? Okay, so wake up and come back right now. This is good. Last page, back page, good stuff. The seed. What is the seed? When we talk about planting, when we talk about the seed, it's going on a path, it goes in the weeds, it goes in the rocky places. That seed, what is that? That we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. That should be easy, right? Okay, the soil. What is the soil? The soil is the heart of man. Some hearts are hard. Some hearts are weedy. Some hearts are rocky. Some hearts are fertile. The lesson. What is the lesson from this parable? What is it that we need to hear today? And there's two lessons. The first lesson, pretty easy here. It depends on who you are that's listening to the parable. Are you the crowd or are you a disciple? Think about that first. You've got to answer that question. Am I one of the crowd or do I see myself as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, if you are the crowd, what you need to hear here, the lesson here, is you are the soil. And the question I have for you, what kind of soil are you? It's pretty basic, pretty easy here. Everyone here needs to think, okay, am I part of the crowd? Is God saying my heart is hard? Is God saying that I'm shallow because I have no biblical foundation, I have no understanding, I'm going to wither up, I'm not going to last? Is God saying I'm worldly? There's worry in my life. There's a deceitfulness of wealth in my life. What is God telling me? If I'm the crowd, I need to be thinking about how my heart is. Is my heart receiving the things from God that God wants to give me? Or is my heart calloused? That's the message for the crowd. It's one message. But if you are a disciple, do you think this is... Play this out here. Is Jesus telling the disciples, you all need to be thinking about your hearts? Because some of you have hard hearts. I mean, Judas over here. In rocky places, you know, Peter. I think Jesus knew very well their hearts when he called these 12 men. I think Jesus knew very well when he hung out with tax collectors and sinners, he knew their hearts. But with the disciples, I'm thinking that's not what Jesus was trying to say to the disciples. You all need to check out your hearts. That's not the point. Jesus was saying something much, much deeper than that. To the disciples, he's saying, you are the sower. You are the one you've been entrusted with the Word of God. You've been entrusted with the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. If you see yourself as a disciple, if you call him Lord and mean it, this is the message here. So the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. To do what with? To share. To share with all the world. To tell others. The message that we need to hear today. If you see yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ, the message you need to understand today is you will be rejected. And you will be disappointed when you see somebody embrace the gospel with joy, and then and they're growing and they're looking awesome and this is exciting. And then a year later, what happened to them? Where did they go? They fell away, and it will break your heart. You see somebody get caught up in sin, the deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of life, or whatever it is, they get caught up and they get choked out. And they fall away. And it will devastate you. You think the disciples didn't experience that? As they're sharing the gospel with all these people, you think they didn't see all these things happen? And what's the message? Stay faithful. You keep sharing that seed because you will produce a crop. Don't focus on the ones who are going to reject you. Don't focus on the ones who are going to fall away. Don't focus on the ones who are going to get choked out. You stay faithful. Don't stop. Don't stop casting that seed. Don't stop sharing the gospel. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Go make disciples. Freely you've received, freely give. Don't be stingy with the Word of God, because we don't know where it's going to take root. We're not Jesus. We can't see people's hearts. We don't know what hearts are hard and what hearts are receptive. And I bet you if we tried, we would get it wrong every time. We would go after the Pharisees because they look religious. They look like good people. That's not where Jesus went after. He knew their hearts were calloused. He went after the people who were broken. We don't know where the seed is going to take root. We just keep casting the seed. We keep sharing the gospel. Neil King, he told me a story this past Wednesday that, you know, he gives out Gideon Bibles. And he goes to fairs. He gives out Gideon Bibles. And he says Floyd County and Harrison County are quite two different places. Floyd County, he says, you get cussed out all the time. People are always cussing them out, which amazes me. If you know Neil King, he's like huge. I'd be terrified to cuss that guy out. But he said he was in Harrison County giving out Bibles, and there one guy came up to him and had some kind of satanic T-shirt on, and he looked demonic. He was so excited about getting a Bible. So you can't judge by appearances. You just stay faithful. Keep casting that seed. Keep casting that seed. Let me close with taking you back to the Normandy, the beaches of Normandy, and D-Day. You remember that? If you know your history, D-Day was just a devastating day. Loss of a lot of lives that day. I want to take you back to that day and put you in the boat getting ready to go on shore. Imagine you were in that boat. You were assigned to go onto the beaches of Normandy. And you know the Nazis have all kinds of machine guns and heavy equipment. You know it's waiting for you. You know only 1 in 10 people will survive. You know the odds are all against you. But you also know we've got to succeed because the Nazis are destroying people. I'm thinking, with a little effort, I could do the same thing with Russia and Ukraine right now. What do? Do you run away? If somebody was coming after your place, if somebody was trying to destroy your home, destroy your family, do you just run away? Do you just give up? You've got to succeed. It doesn't matter what they're throwing at you. It doesn't matter how well equipped they are. You don't give up. You don't stop. And the same thing is true for us. You and I, who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we don't stop. We've got to proclaim the gospel. The word of God has power. It's the power of the small seed that produces big results. Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I know it's powerful. We must share the secrets of the kingdom of heaven with others. The word of God has been entrusted to you. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, so then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those who have been entrusted with the secret things of God. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. It says in Jude 3, contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. You have been entrusted with the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And we know we are going to be rejected. We're going to be hated. We're going to see conversions that break our heart. They won't last. The message is we must persevere. We've got to keep going. Never stop. Never stop. Because somewhere, I'm convinced that seed that we're sowing is going to take root, and it's going to produce fruit. A crop 100 times of what was before. A crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. So don't stop. Don't stop. Never stop. Never stop. Go make disciples.